The following is a recording from Maria Barona from iAdvise on Tuesday, July 28, 2015 at 10 a.m. Central. Megacable second quarter 2015. Good morning. My name is Josh and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Megacable Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After this presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session. Instructions on how to ask a question will be given at that time. Thank you for your attention. I will now turn the call to Maria Barona of iAdvise. Ma'am, please go ahead.
Thank you, and welcome to Megacable second quarter 2015 conference call. We appreciate your participation on this call today. At this time, I will introduce the team from Megacable, Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, CEO, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Luis Cetet, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. The gentleman will be discussing the quarterly results prior to taking questions from the audience. Please note that certain comments made today may constitute forward-looking statements which do not account for future economic circumstances, company performance, or financial results. These are subject to various conditions. For a complete disclaimer, we ask that you refer to the quarterly release that was issued yesterday. If you did not receive a copy and would like to be added to the Megacable mailing list, please contact us at 212-406-3695 in New York. It's now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Yamuni to begin his presentation. Please go ahead, Mr. Yamuni.
Thank you, Maria, and thank you all for your participation. It is with great pleasure that I review with you the company's results for the second quarter and first half of 2015. Megacable is pleased to release the results of another great quarter. The company was able to deliver great results across all our business units, pay television, broadband, and telephony in our residential services, and continues to post also outstanding results in the corporate and entertainment and enterprise segments. We have been able to keep our margin for cable operations at the regional level. It remains at 44% in the second quarter of 2015, and is at 46% accumulated for the year. Despite an expensive U.S. dollar and its impact in our costs, since we add PCTV, MCM, and OLA, our EBITDA margin for the quarter goes down to 37%, and for the first 6 months, and 40% accumulated. I mean, I'm sorry, 37% for the first 6 months, and 40% for the second quarter, and 40% accumulated. Because we're growing at a faster pace in the corporate and government business units that have lower margins than the massive market. These units added 98 million pesos, or a total of 7% of our total EBITDA in the second quarter of 2015. We expect that the EBITDA margins of OLA gets to normal as the company gets better contracts in administrative services and less hardware sales, as it was the case with the CFE. We continue to have a very healthy correlation in our CapEx to revenues ratio, and we still continue to invest heavily in increasing our bandwidth to provide the subscriber with the best experience in the market and the most valuable creating offer, and being able to keep and increase our broadband of a minimum of 10 megabits per second and over 100 megabits per second in more and more areas. We will also continue to enhance the video experience with more HD channels, up to 75 of them now, across most of our markets, and better user interface, electronic program guides, and VOD. The new generation of telephony is cooking, and soon it should be a very pleasant surprise for our customers. Our main driver continues to be broadband, and it will continue to be for the coming years. Even though we are still growing at very healthy rates in pay television, broadband, and telephony, our subscribers' growth rates for the past 12 months were 14%, 42%, and 25% respectively. In Megacable, we are devoted to deliver more and better services to our customers, the best results for our shareholders, and a better place to work for our associates and employees. But more detail of our operations and financial results will be commented by Raimundo and Luis. Raimundo, please start with the operational aspect.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning, everyone. I will focus on the operational highlights behind our results, like Enrique mentioned. In the second quarter, Megacable continued its momentum of outstanding subscriber growth, particularly in the internet segment, reaching 1.6 million with net adds in the quarter of 103,000 subscribers. This increased our base by 457,000 net additions compared to second quarter 2014. As we have mentioned in previous calls, we anticipate internet subscriber growth to continue and be the major catalyst for Megacable's performance for the coming years. That's why we are investing heavily also on expanding our Wi-Fi capabilities and will deploy around 7,000 Wi-Fi hotspots throughout the country by the end of this year to enable access ubiquity to our customers and allow them to utilize the internet when they are not at home. As Enrique mentioned, our broadband subscribers now have at least 10 megabits and demand higher speeds. There is no question that the consumer appetite for high bandwidth applications is growing at a tremendous pace. The next phase of entertainment is all about being able to get access to our video and data content anywhere, anytime, and through any device. Thanks to this demand and the quality of our product, approximately 60% of our video subscribers have internet access nowadays. With internet posting outstanding growth in both customer base and traffic consumption, Megacable has taken all the necessary measures to guarantee the bandwidth in the access and transport layers of our network, increasing capacity by more than 70% year over year, reflecting our commitment to supporting a state-of-the-art, reliable, and always available network infrastructure. Now, about video subscribers, it grew 14% with net adds of 321,000 year over year and 79,000 net adds in the quarter. On the other hand, the digital video segment increased an outstanding 27%, implying net additions of 391,000 year over year as a result of our digitalization project, totaling now 1.8 million main digital set-top boxes and an additional 2.1 million second or additional outlets. During this period, the company obtained for the first time exclusive rights to the Mexican First Division Soccer League, making TVC Deportes a more attractive asset, which at the same time added to the other five channels we produced by TCTV, makes Megacable an important content production player in the industry. Regarding telephony, telephony added over 162,000 subscribers, a record growth of 25% year over year, and 40,000 in the quarter. The subscriber migration to telephony products of unlimited calls is the key of the success of this segment. The market, like Enrique said, will hear very interesting news soon. We will be launching a very innovative service that will add tremendous value to our traditional telephone business and will provide our customers with a new method of communication and voice service. This platform will greatly benefit our voice service and will certainly improve the stickiness among our actual customers while driving new ads. The combination of great marketing campaigns and more selective sales channels is one of the main drivers for growth. Megacable has successfully developed different distribution channels from door-to-door, point-of-sale, dealer, electronic and call centers around the nation that allow us to reach more operations than the regional churn of a company like this. During all this year, we have posted over 100,000 video sales every month and more than 80,000 broadband operations monthly. In addition, we managed to continually decrease churn rates to record lows. It is very simple. Sales with a historical maximum and great service decreasing churn give us these results that we are posting today. As a result of this effort, the company posted a 24% increase in RGUs year over year, totaling approximately 5 million units as of June 30, 2015, while unique subscribers accounted for approximately 2.8 million, increasing RGUs per unique subscriber to roughly 1.8. Unique ARPU declined 1% due to the decrease in individual ARPU from bundling, a stronger recovery of revenue from bundling. A stronger recovery of revenues in March 2015 due to the Easter vacation season compared to 2014, which offset the natural growth for the rise in RUs and the impact of the elimination of the long distance charges. Those are the three reasons for the 1% decrease in the ARPU that we have, which is seasonal and bundling of the service mostly. Regarding the corporate segment, also posted solid results. During second quarter 2015, corporate revenues accounted for 871 million pesos, representing 23% of total revenues. MetroCard, MTM, Ola, and PCTV are part of this strategy. MetroCard continues to provide connectivity at the highest capacity to all business segments, and in alliance with Ola, our technology integrator, this merger gives us the opportunity to reach other segments such as federal agencies and the government sector, winning several contracts that significantly increase the revenue of this segment. Also, in terms of corporate, our affiliate GTAC is a great partner in order to support customer demand for increased bandwidth, while at the same time helping Megacable reduce internet costs in order to deliver world-class service not only to Megacable but to all our business and carrier customers. It is important that we not depend on others for the domestic transport of our requirements and customers. Last year, we planned to build two master headends, which act as our main network facility, responsible for distributing our service throughout the country. I'm glad to say that we have completed the activation of one of them, the Veracruz master headend, and will be activating the second one by the end of this year here in Guadalajara. We continue also to deploy DOCSIS 3.0, technology that provides us with the best return on capex in the market with very simple upgrades, fast and with the same back office infrastructure and CPEs. In terms of set-top boxes, traditional QAM video technology, both for SD and HD, continues to be deployed since it also provides the best experience to all our subscribers at a very efficient cost. Luis will explain more about the capex, but I can tell you CP account for 40% of our investment due to this approach, helping Megacable maintain the healthy ratio Enrique has explained before. However, we are aware and able to manage new technologies. We launched in Guanajuato the upgrade of the network to the new architecture of GPON, as we understand that the recent development in optical networking yield a new perspective on communications. With GPON, we will be able to offer symmetrical speed, Timeshift TV, Cloud DVR, and other services. This is a major evolution in our capacity to provide a new class of service to both residential and commercial customers. It's our strategy to deploy GPON only in selective markets as we decide. Of great importance for us is customer satisfaction. During second quarter 2015, our company continued its customer service transformation program in 10 additional new systems and worked close with our employee base to decrease rotation. Our studies show an increase in customer satisfaction year over year. We are very proud of this too. Luis will now continue with the financial highlights. Luis, please go ahead.
Thank you, Raimundo, and good morning, everyone. In terms of the company financial results, Megacable consolidated services revenues increased 33% from second quarter 2014 to second quarter 2015, reaching 3.7 billion pesos. Megacable delivered once again strong revenue numbers across all areas in our P&L. The massive market grew 14%, with video growing 9%, internet 31%, telephony 6%, and corporate and government an astonishing 183%, and others 17%. Making a zoom on business revenue, Ola revenue grew 386 million pesos, or 347%. PCTV participated with 144 million pesos additional revenue, and MTM and Metro Carrier both increased 17%. On a per-segment basis, video contributed 45% of revenue, with internet 22%, telephony 9%, and corporate now reach 23%, This was driven mainly by OLA with the CFE project. Cost of services in cable operations increased 14% and 68% for the entire company compared to the second quarter of 2014, with costs primarily driven by OLA's CFE project, the incorporation of CCTV costs, and some other costs of services denominated in U.S. dollars due to the depreciation of the peso. Operating and general expenses increased 22%, largely by CCTV expenses and some labor costs from salary increases paid retroactively during the quarter. Consolidated EBITDA rose 16% compared to second quarter 2014, reaching 1,387 million pesos for an EBITDA margin of 37%. Adjusted EBITDA for cable operations rose 13% from second quarter 2014 to the second quarter 2015 to total 1,289 million pesos, reaching a margin over cable revenues of 44%. As Enrique mentioned, the reduction of the consolidated margin has come from the faster-growing trend in the business segment, where margins are much lower. But our margins over cable revenues remains one of the strongest margins in the market. Net income totaled 667 million pesos, a 15% increase year over year, thanks to the sustained revenue growth of the company and despite the volatility of currency and an ever-increasing competitive landscape. During the second quarter, Megacable invested 1,040 million pesos for a total of 1,801 million pesos in the year, in line with the company guidance of 195 to 200 million for 2015, as Megacable now has invested $117 million, and that is below 60% of the total forecast. This investment was mainly allocated toward the purchase of terminal subscriber equipment, growth and modernization of the cable network, and the purchase of fixed assets. Tax rate on 27% for this quarter is growing from a 24% on the previous one, as we anticipate a tax rate for the full fiscal year around 25 to 26%. Lastly, accounts receivable are impacted mainly because of the multi-mentioned CFE project with OLA. Thank you for your attention. Operator, may we proceed with Q&A portion of the call, please?
Certainly. At this time, we will be happy to open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. And we have our first question coming from Alejandro Gallotra from BBVA.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for the call. Will it be possible to have a breakdown of your topics between fixed and variable? And then what percentage of your variable cost is related to the corporate business growth?
Alejandro, yeah, of course, we can send it over. We don't have it at hand right now, but for sure, once we send the call, I'll send it to you.
Okay, thank you. And then my second question is related to the business of selling idle capacity to other companies. Is it possible to give us additional details about the revenues generated so far over the first 6 months of this year, and how much you expect to achieve by year end, and the margins of this business as well? Thank you.
Hi, Alejandro. This is Raimundo. You can find the revenues of Metro Carrier in the. By the way, we slightly changed the report. This report, trying to make it more clear. It would be nice to have Saul or whatever, you know, your input, whether your comments on that one. To make it simple, you know, and to split a little bit the massive to the corporate segment that was consistently a question that all of you have. Regarding the bandwidth capacity we sell to other carriers, you can find that's part of the metro carrier revenues that are showing in our report. We sold 83 million pesos over the quarter. Not all of them are to carriers, are spread among, you know, different corporate carriers, international and carrier nationwide for that. But that's where you can find it, on metro carrier.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andre Sala from Credit Suisse.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for the call. I have a couple of questions with regards to Ola. Firstly, I understand from the press release that the progress rate of the CFE project is currently at 28%. If I remember well, you were expecting this to be completed by, say, the middle of 2016. Does that still hold?
Hello, Andre. Yes, and as we explained in a previous two calls, this is a long-term project that we acquired with CFE. The total length of the project is 18 months. Uh-huh. So we are just, we have dealt only with the first 6 months of the project, and basically this quarter has been a full impact of the progress of the project. And we will still have this in our hands for the following year, so expect another 12 months of income and revenues and coming from this project with CFE. And we anticipate that we will continue to have 300 plus million per quarter during the remaining of the year, or the remaining of the project, which is 12 months from now.
Okay, thank you.
So it will end mid-year next 2016.
Of course. Okay. And then and that explains for 386 million of the 497 in the quarter, right? So the other 111 million pesos are from other projects apart from the CFP.
Right. It's not only CFE. Of course, we have other projects there. So, yes, that's right.
Okay. And that's what some more or less what we should expect to see after the project with the CFE concludes, like 100 million pesos per quarter.
We hope to make that business grow. Of course, our expectation is that that will be above 100 million per quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So we expect that number to grow a little bit.
Excellent. And those other 100 million pesos, I don't know if you can, you know, if you can share some color and what the profitability of those other projects are compared to the CFE project. No? I understand that the overall margin for Ola has been depressed by the CFE project.
Yes, the average margin we have with Ola projects outside the CFE goes around 15%. So just the mix is not good so far because CFE is really a large project.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos de la Garreta from GBM.
Good morning, gentlemen. Regarding the corporate segment, Enrique, I believe you mentioned that and the press release also says that you're trying to have a higher EBITDA margin from the current 12%. Is there a particular target that you just would like to be seeing this margin, for the near future that we should be thinking about? Thank you.
Really on the margin, I think.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Okay. Go on again.
Yeah, we really think that the EBITDA margin for the corporate market should go to the levels of those the same as those companies that are in that market, which you know accounts for like Alestra and Axtel. It should be near the 30s, around the 30%. That with the combination of hardware sales in connectivity, those companies provide. With Ola, since Ola does not provide connectivity, connectivity is provided by Mega Cable, and Ola is basically labor administrative services and hardware and software solutions. We think it's going to be pretty much around that, around 25 to 30%. That should be for Ola. And for MCM and PCTB, it should be around 30 also. So this was an extraordinary project for CFE, and that really punished the margins of Ola. But it provided with a good profit in absolute terms, but not as a percentage. And we think that it should stabilize that those numbers or figures I'm mentioning. I don't know what you think, Raymond.
Yeah, that sounds great. Go ahead,
Carlos.
Just a second question. I mean, it seems to me that with the rates of growth that you guys are observing in the mass market, it's pretty clear that you guys will reach the guidance before the end of the year. Are you intending to opt to change that guidance, or should we still be looking at that?
Carlos. We have looked at our guidance, and it seems that we would rather wait for another quarter, because in terms of revenue and in terms of EBITDA, we are really on line with our forecast. We are a little bit ahead in the internet and also in subscriber growth. We are waiting for the next quarter to make a final statement. We have to wait and see what happens on the third quarter, the second half of 2016. We want to wait until we have figures for the third quarter and then make a final statement.
It's not going to be lower than our guidance.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Not.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andres Codillo from Scotiabank.
Yes, hello, this is actually Andres Codillo, thank you. We saw a certain contraction of the EBITDA margin in cable, which went down from 47.9% in Q1 to 44.1% in Q2. So I'm wondering, you know, what changed between Q1 and Q2, perhaps the FX? I think that's perhaps my biggest question. If you think that FX was the main reason behind the drop in the EBITDA margin for cable, perhaps it was just seasonality. On a year-over-year basis, the margin also dropped 60 basis points. So just if you can give us some color specifically regarding the cable business.
Sure, Andres, and you're right on that. Some of these have to do with the foreign exchange. The currency has been volatile and not on our favor, actually, been against us. The U.S. dollar has been increasing, and as you know, some of our expenses are really denominated in U.S. dollars, and that impacts mainly the second quarter, as the largest impact has been during the last 90 days on the first half. And something else is seasonality, and this year, we had a really benefit in the first quarter because the Holy Week was the first week of April. So many customers, many subscribers paid in advance really the
last week of March.
The last week of March, the fees for April. So, yes, that's something that impacted, and if you go back to the numbers on the first quarter, the EBITDA numbers are a little bit higher than the average that we have managed in the past. So it was a seasonality. Now the full year is 46%. So we expect that to go around 45% as we establish in our guidance. that it was going to be around 45% for the year.
That effect that Luis is explaining, Andres, it does affect also what I was trying to explain about the ARPU too. This year, the Easter vacation of Semana Santa was the first week of April, so we got less revenue on those two first weeks. But what we saw from the market was people coming to pay in advance. We did a strong campaign not to get disconnected to load the signal during those 2 weeks. So they came and they paid in March. So we have a very extraordinary end of March on the first quarter compared to first quarter 2014. And now we have less revenue on the first 2 weeks of April. That does affect also the ARPU compared to second quarter 2014 June. You know, it's a double effect. We did pretty good at the end of first quarter because of that one, and now we have a slightly lower return or collection at the first one. We don't expect this to be happening all the time. You know, it's just a 2 week vacation that affects. And normally they switch between March and April, and it's affecting a little bit what you are seeing. But we expect pretty much to continue the way we are, but not to decrease, but to have lower outputs on that part. The lower outputs in the individual come pretty much from the bundling package. That's it. It's very simple to understand. Last year we have less people with internet and telephony compared to what we have right now, and that is affecting a little bit the outputs on that one. And also, during this quarter, we have an extraordinary growth, for example, in internet. We grew, if I can recall, like 100,000 subscribers from that part compared to what we grew in second quarter 2014. So when you have a much more higher growth, those customers start paying you, you know, after 15, 30 days, you know, and start affecting the bonding. So that's what happened with ARPUs and margin during second quarter in general. We don't see this as something that is extraordinary for us. Actually, we're very happy to the results we're posting on the market too.
And looking at an ARPUs, Raimundo, we modified our report to make it easier for you, and we took the corporate and government revenue that was being part of the unique ARPU. Now the unique ARPU will be calculated only on mass market, and that will be easier for you to read, and of course we're going to start listening to the reasons for the unique ARPU to go up or down based on more related to the cable operation business, because it's cleaner now, the unique ARPU that we are posting.
Okay,
thank you.
Here's a question on strategy. Of course, the company's net cash position continues to increase. So we are wondering if Megacable continues to be interesting in consolidating the Mexican sector. If you, you know, maybe looking at other options, you know, perhaps Maxcom, as you probably did in the past, or another company similar to Ola. If you still see opportunities in Mexico, or if you may consider opportunities abroad.
Well, definitely, the Mexican market is mostly consolidated, especially in the cable sector. In case there would be other companies that are there to be consolidated, are for sure not pure cable or pure, it's like hybrids companies. But there are other companies out there that. That should be, thinking about what they're going to do, whether they're going to stay by themselves or consolidate or sell or whatever. And, those companies are mainly Cilex or corporate segment companies like Lestra and Avantel. We have not, engaged in conversations with any of them. But we don't discard doing something with somebody. It's just that we're not talking about with anyone at this moment. But we don't discard doing something with them. We're not thinking about going outside Mexico, at least not by ourselves. If we do something out of Mexico, it should be with it should be with somebody else, you know, that has experience in other markets. In Latin American markets, we're not talking to anyone, but we don't discard any options that we have to grow faster. Even though our growth rates organically are exceptional, and there are not very many companies that are growing at the same pace that we're growing organically, but we don't discard anything if that represents a good value for the shareholders of the company.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Again, that is star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. We now have a follow-up question from Andres Coelho from Scotiabank.
Yes, thanks so much for the follow-up, and this is a quick one. You were mentioning that there was an important increase in accounts receivable that was related to the CFE project. I was wondering if we should expect receivables to get settled for a period of time, or if you are accruing here all of the project and then accounts receivable will go down and you will actually deliver the service. So just, some color on why accounts receivable went up so much and how you expect it to come back to a previous level.
Yes, can answer that.
Yes, Andres, thanks for the question. And you're right. The way the project works with the CFE is that they pay only once at the end of the project. All the expenses and all the revenue that we are recognizing now will be we'll group in the account receivables until we get the money from CFE. So it will be shown that way until the project ends. That will be...
Yeah, but the project has different stage.
Oh, yeah.
It's not 18 months.
Right, but the way it works with CFE, they recognize and they accept and they approve that collection in the books will be shown in that way until July or June next year. So the numbers will be...
So it is possible that accounts receivable continues to increase as we approach the payment date?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We now have another follow-up question from Carlos de Legarreta from GBM.
Thanks again. I would like to have your input regarding, if you look at the dynamic, the pricing dynamic on the industry, as measured by the CPI or the sub-indexes of the CPI, you can see that the only service in the past 2 years since the reform has been implemented that actually has been increasing relative to those 2 years is actually the pay TV service. And I can only see the Megacable output increasing. So do you think that's related to different pricing strategies from your competitors? That will be helpful for us. Thank you.
Okay. So... thank you, Carlos. And yes, the thing is that we are not reducing our prices. So the rates are basically the same or a little bit up. But because of the bundling of our services, every time we have a new subscriber that is bundling our product, of course we offer a discount for having two or three services. That is what's really impacting our ARPU, not our rate. But we are confident that by adding additional services, because we have already invested in the drop and in the network, basically the additional revenue, it's healthy revenue coming from a subscriber that was already there. So we are close to 1.8 RGUs per subscriber. And that is where it is reflecting, and having additional services offered to customers also give us the future opportunity to increase other services like HD or OTT and so on. So we are happy to understand that we can grow our revenues, and of course sometimes it would be that individual output will be going down a little bit, but basically that's the effect we are seeing.
And also, if you consider what we have for the vacation and take that seasonality off, we will be at the same unique output that we had last year. So the number of RGUs will increase, but the bundle will decrease. The end will be the same as we have right now. We have high expectations that the HD, like Luis is saying, you know, all the Megacable Play and everything we're doing, will pick up our outputs on video and white panel internet into the future. But right now, we don't expect to get outputs lower than what we have. Why? Because we have the best price compared to the market, and that's why we're taking, and our strategy to continue to increase market penetration on that part, and in order to fish, to increase the upgrades of the customers to better and higher services. We're working on that part. So don't expect the output to decrease on that part.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you.
No, thank you for asking. Everyone is too quiet today.
Again, if anyone would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now.
I don't know whether it's good or bad, but they don't have so much questions today. Rodrigo is quiet and everybody is quiet. And the first time they say, it seems like a good report.
And at this time, no further questions, and I'd like to turn the call back over to Mr. Yamuni for closing remarks.
Okay, thank you, operator, and special thanks for our audience and giving us a chance to discuss Megacable's performance and achievements in the first half of this 2015. As always, our investor relations department is available in between the quarterly conference calls to answer any questions you might have, so please don't hesitate to contact us if you have any other questions. And have a great day, and thank you, really, thank you very much for your participation and interest in Megacable. Bye-bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.